There are a few new faces. I just want to say welcome to you. My name is Kyle, and I'm the campus director here. So hope to meet you afterwards if I haven't met you already. I'm excited y'all are here. I'm excited. The topic we're going to talk about tonight, I've been praying about, thinking on. Excited about what God wants to share with us. And so it's definitely related to what we talked about last week. Last week we talked about the gospel. And specifically we're looking at the book of Philippians because as a ministry, we're most of us are studying the book of Philippians and doing an inductive Bible study. If you don't know what that is, you can find out. You can talk to me. There's other people that would know. If you're interested in joining Bible study, we'd love to have you. So we're diving deep in the book of Philippians. And so I wanted to start off the semester looking at a couple, and throughout the semester, we're going to look at a couple different themes in the book of Philippians. And so I wanted to start off the semester talking about the gospel because I think the gospel is so important. So last semester or last week, we talked about how the gospel relates to us, and why is it important that we actually believe it and live it out, not just to like share it with other people, which we'll talk about tonight, but how's the gospel, now that I believe the gospel and the good news that once I was an enemy of God, deserving death, hell, and the grave, and God sent Christ to pay for my sin, that I might be able to have eternal life in him through faith in Christ and his work. And so, yeah, we talked about why trusting in Jesus, and we talked about preaching the gospel to yourself every day last week. And the need for that is because often we believe in the gospel, but then what we return to is believing that for me to relate to God, I have to earn my relationship or earn the right to be in the, to come to God. I have to make up for my mistakes. And that's not how we started off with our relationship with God, nor is it how we continue our relationship with God. It always comes back to the gospel and trusting in the life and death of Christ and his resurrection. And that's how we relate freely to God. And the excitement of that and the importance of believing on that every day when we wake up. So maybe some of y'all did it, I don't know. But we did post a verse every day for the past 7 days. Hopefully that you could go on our Facebook page and look and think on that verse as it applies to your life and the goodness of God's grace and the gospel and how we get to relate to him freely, not because we earned it, not because I made it for my mistakes, but because of the gift of Christ. And so that was last week. And the importance of starting with that is that's why we even talk about the gospel to other people, because it impacts our life and it continues to impact our life. And so that's what I want to talk about tonight. And I'm excited to share some stories that some of y'all have heard before, but I get really excited when I think about these stories. And so I'm going to share those in a little bit. But let me pray real quick before we jump into the Bible. Lord, I thank you that you are real, you are alive, and that we get to know you because you sent Christ in replacement of what we deserve, and he took it, Lord. And so I just pray tonight, Lord, that we would hear from you, that you would allow the scriptures to speak to us, Lord. Lord, that you would be honored. We just ask that you'd be here speaking to our hearts. Amen. So turn to Philippians. That's where we're going to be. So turn to Philippians if you have your Bibles. I want to read two sections of verses, kind of the why. Why, like I said, we talked about the gospel for us. People that already believe in the gospel and trust Jesus. Talked about that last week. This week, I want to talk about going and sharing it with other people. And why do we even do that? So I want to look at two verses in Philippians, or two sections of scripture in Philippians that I think speak to this. So Philippians 2, verses 9, 10, and 11, says, therefore, God has highly exalted him. And he's talking about Jesus. So God, therefore, God has highly exalted Jesus and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And then just go over to Philippians 3. I want to read Philippians 3:17 and to the end of that chapter. It says, brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. For many of whom I have often told you, and now tell you even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction, their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame, the mind set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. There's two reasons why we share the gospel. And I'm going to share the first one, and this is the most important one, and it comes from that first chunk that we shared on. The reason why we share the gospel is because God gets glory. That is foremost the most important reason why we should be compelled to share the gospel, because God gets glorified. How does he get glorified? He gets glorified because people believe in him and worship him as God, because he is God. He created all things. He holds it all together. We know in Colossians it talks about Jesus holds all things together. So all of creation is held together by the power of Christ. He deserves some worship for that. I mean, that's pretty sweet. Creating all things. He is God. We were designed to worship and bring glory to God. And so when we share the gospel, things are made right again. People are back in right relationship with Christ. They get to worship him as God. No longer do they worship other things, idols, man-made things, themselves. God is glorified, and that compels us. Also, with that, when we think on the gospel, and that's why I wanted to talk last week about us thinking on the gospel for our own lives. It brings glory to God when we think on it. And shouldn't we glorify? And not just should we, but we get to. And it moves me when I think about the gospel, when I think on that, just like the other section in Philippians 3 we just read, it says that, you know, Paul's saying, you know, I've talked to you a couple times about people that are enemies of God, they're into their destruction. Guess what? That was us at one time. If we believe in Christ, we were once his enemies, it says. Now, we might not have felt like that. It's not like, I didn't believe in Jesus, and, you know, I hated Jesus. He was my enemy. But the way the Bible describes it, we were enemies. And we deserve destruction. And we don't get that. And we get to glorify his name because we get to talk about this glorious good news of what God did. It's the best story ever that could be told, that people that were dead can now be made alive. And that was me and you. And so hopefully, as we this past week, we thought on the gospel. Hopefully, some of y'all, we did that, even if it was one day, to think on it. And I did that this week, and I had to remind myself, even though it was like halfway through the day sometimes. When I think on the gospel, it gets me excited about talking to other people because I remember who I was. Now, I came to Christ at an early age, so it wasn't like, oh, I remember like living this lifestyle of like everything, you know, just living for the world. I mean, I really don't remember that. I was very young. But I know what was true because the Bible told me I was meant for destruction because I was disobedient to Christ and an enemy. So when I think on that, and I get to worship God, and I get excited about bringing glory to his name because of what he did. So that's the first reason why we get to be a part of this. Why should we be compelled? Why is it exciting to share the gospel? Because God gets the glory. Second point, it comes mostly from that second chunk of scripture in Philippians there. It's because people are involved. The eternity of people And here, Paul's saying, listen, guys, you know, I've written to you about a couple people, and even now, with tears in my eyes, there are some that are enemies of Christ. Their end is their destruction. The God is their belly. And often, I go and I walk around campus, I don't even think about people's eternal destiny. And the reality is, there is hell, and people go there. And the greatest trick of all is to believe that there isn't one, and we don't even think about it. Because then we don't care about people. And then we're not compelled, for the glory of God and the souls of men, for all of eternity, we're not compelled to share and take a chance. And I love that Paul describes it this way, in such a way. He's talking about enemies of the cross, but he says with tears in his eyes. And so he's thinking about people. He's literally weeping for people, the souls of people. He's weeping, saying, "These, you know, I've told you about these people. And with tears in my eyes, they're there." And he said, and that is what we were. And now who we are now citizens of heaven. And one day our lowly bodies will be transformed into his glorious body. And that's why we go out and share the gospel. That's why we go, because we were once like them. Someone, somehow, Sunday school, somewhere, parents, someone shared with you. Now, maybe someone had an experience like Paul did. Before he was Paul, he was Saul. He's on a road. Jesus shows up and blinds him and shares the gospel, because that's what he needed. He needed God to show up and do it. Maybe some of y'all had that, but most likely, I'm assuming everybody here, someone actually shared the gospel with you. And that's why we go. Because God has chosen to use people like me and you that have been transformed by the gospel. We're not perfect. We don't have it all together. That's okay. But he said, you're alive in me now. Go and share. And that's why we go. Because he gets glory, because of the glorious message of what he's done for you and me, and we're now alive and we get to share. And others that were once like us can be made alive. And that's exciting. You're talking about investing in something that will never end. The souls of men. There's very few things on earth that will last forever. The souls of men, God and God's word. Those are like the three. You know, everything else is going to burn. We get a new earth one day, it says. So everything, it's gone. To invest in the souls of people and the glory of God, it's a great calling. And we get to be a part of it. And it's awesome. So as we think on the gospel, I pray that it would compel us to know that, man, I know what I deserve. And I don't get it. God took care of it. Now I have life, and now I want to share with other people. So that's why we go. Kind of the how we go, I want to talk about that for a minute. But the great thing is, when we go share the gospel, it's not up to us. God does the work. Look in Philippians 1. Let me read Philippians 1, 3 through 7. Yeah, 3 through 7 real quick. This is Paul. This is how he starts off his letter. He says, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. This is the part I really want you to focus on. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to feel this way about you all, because I hold you in my heart, for you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and the defense and confirmation of the gospel. I don't know if you caught it there. Right there in 6, this is what Paul's saying. Now, Paul shared the gospel with the Philippians. If you go to Acts, you can hear the story and everything like that. But Paul says right here, he says, I am sure of this. He, God, who started the work will finish it. Paul didn't say, the message I brought, that I shared with you and that you believed in, God's going to carry that out. No, he said, God started it all. So when we go, Paul preached to the Philippians, he understood God started this all. God does the work. So I don't know about you when it talks about, I mean, you know, when I grew up, I didn't know how to share the gospel. I went to church all my life. I was kind of like the Christian guy in college. I mean, that's a whole other, or not college, in high school, that's a whole other story. I mean, I did know Christ, but I was trying to like outwardly just perform. So people knew I was a Christian because I was like, don't cuss around me, you know, all these things that Christians do to be good. And but they knew it, and people would talk to me or would say stuff to me. And I remember one time, y'all were probably young, Y2K. Maybe that wasn't a big deal for y'all. Maybe you were young. But I was in high school. That dates me a little bit. And that was a big deal. And I remember someone say, if it's the end of the world, I'm coming to you, Kyle, because you know, he kind of was saying, I want to know about God. I didn't know what to even share with him. I would, you know, if someone's like, hey, tell me the gospel, I'd be like, believe in Jesus. He forgives your sins. Now, that's a great thing. You can say that. That, I mean, that's a summary. But I didn't even know what I was doing. I was scared. Well, guess what? God does the work. If I would have said that and God wanted that person to come to Christ, they could come to Christ with me just saying, believe in Jesus. He saves your sin. You know, that can work too because God does the work. It's not up to us. Now, I think we should learn, and we'll talk about that. We can learn illustrations and understand the gospel more clearly. But God does it. Even if we mess it up, God does it. And then here's why I'm convinced of this. I love Acts 17, 26. Turn to that real quick. Acts 17. This is Paul again. It's Acts 17, 26 and 27. And Paul is saying, he's talking about God. He says, and he, God, made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling place, that they should seek God and hope they might feel their way toward him and find him, yet he is actually not far from each one of us. See, Paul here is saying God determines when and where people are born and live for the sole purpose that they might reach out and know him. See, God is orchestrating all kinds of crazy events. His hands involved with everything for the sole purpose that people might know him all over the place. Because he's at work. He's in the business of saving people. And so he's moving and shuffling. And I want to share a couple stories that I am absolutely convinced it had to be God. Because there's no other way this happens. With people coming to Christ. Because he determines the exact time and place they should live. First one. Some of y'all have heard the stories. Just bear with me. I love talking about them. First one, I don't even know how long ago it was. His name was Doug. This was probably 4 or 5 years ago. Doug moved into Smith, right next door. Me and a guy named Chris Futch, some of y'all know. Chris was RA. And he was hanging out, we're meeting people. Doug's like the first person Chris meets on his floor. Doug comes from a big family. He's used to hanging out with people. So all he does is like, he's around us all the time. He starts handing out flyers for the Navigators first day, bringing people out. Doug's not a believer, but he just liked people. So he hung out with us all the time. Every time we'll go hang out with Chris, guess what? Doug was there. He was looking for people to hang out. Great guy. Still friends. So Doug starts hanging out with us. Nav Night used to be in Kellam Hall. It is tonight, but not next week or somewhere else. But Kellam Hall, we used to be there all the time. Doug, see, I can picture it now. Dave Wurga, who used to be the campus director here, preached that night. And we've been talking to Doug. It's been, I think it's like week three. We've been talking to Doug. About Jesus, and he had a lot of questions. And that night, I had to leave because we had an after-NAS event. But Dave and Chris were sitting in the corner, and Doug came out right after Nav, and ran to Dave and had to talk, because Dave had talked about the gospel. And they're talking, and I know it's getting close, and I'm walking, and I have to leave. But I come to find out that night, Doug trusts in Christ. And afterwards, he says, I feel like a weight has been lifted. I mean, it was just real. And he says, you know what the crazy thing is? He said, I wasn't even supposed to live in Smith Hall. And see, Doug wasn't just in Smith Hall where Chris was in RA. Doug was on Chris's side of the floor. He said, I wasn't even supposed to be in Smith. He's like, I wasn't ever in DeGraff or DeVinny, one of the D1s. And he said, 3 weeks before I moved here, they sent me a letter saying they moved me. Now, I don't know if y'all have dealt with housing, but that doesn't happen. Housing doesn't move you unless you ask. And if you ask, they like make you jump through a bunch of hoops to move you. I mean, it's like ridiculous. No offense to housing people. We love y'all. Amy, you're great. former housing right here. Aaron. Weren't you other Aaron? This Aaron too. Okay, there's a lot of y'all. We love y'all. It's great job. I worked also. But they aren't always efficient. It doesn't always make sense. Actually, this is a side story, a little funny. One time I got the letter in the mail, and they had like housed me with a girl. And I was like, and I actually knew the girl. It was kind of funny. I was like, that doesn't work that way. So they moved me very quickly. But they don't move you with it unless you ask you. He's like, I wasn't even supposed to be in Smith Hall. I am convinced God moved through housing because he determines the exact time and places people live, because he wants them to reach out. Doug was ready. He was ready for the picking. He needed to hear the gospel. So God said, Smith Hall, third floor, Chris's side. I'll make it really easy on the navigators, because he's in the business of winning people. So we started, and we had been praying this. I said, Chris, let's pray about it. I think God does this. So we had been praying this first. And I would say, let's go pray it again. We pray it. That year we were talking, sharing the gospel on that floor. We did something called investigative Bible discussion. We were sharing Christ, eating pizza, talking about spiritual things with people. Next year I said, let's pray this verse, let's do it again. So we pray this verse. And so we launch an IBD. We're talking about Jesus people. We, you know, see where people are at spiritually. And this guy, Manny. The people that we have in the spiritual discussion group, that's what I love. These people were from all different walks of life. We had Christians, we had atheists, we had Buddhists, we had everything in between. And great discussion, and we talked about Jesus, and it was awesome. And I remember one night Manny said, and this is when I know, this gets me excited. He said, you're telling me that even if I killed someone, Jesus could forgive me? And I said, yes. And it was great because it clicked for the first time. He had been around church stuff. We had been talking about Jesus forgive. But it was like it happened before my eyes. It clicked. Now, he didn't trust Jesus that night. We kept on talking. And me and Chris, we went and shared. Again, we used a gospel illustration. We shared the bridge. And we're like, all right, Manny, you don't need to like, you know, we're not like priests. So if you want to do this, if you want to like trust in Jesus, you don't need to like call us and we need to come over and do this with you, just so you know. So we shared it. Found out we had shared it. We draw it on a piece of paper. He put it up on his wall. He shared it with his girlfriend. It was just like, awesome. That's why we draw it and give it to people, because they share it with other people. They don't even know what they're doing. It's awesome. It's getting near the end of the semester. So we're like, all right, let's get with Manny, see where he's at. We get with Manny. And we're like, hey, Manny, where are you at? He's like, oh, yeah, I did that 2 weeks ago. I trust you. You're like, well, you could have told us. You didn't need to call us to come do that, but you could have told us you did this. And we were so excited. And Manny said, you know what the crazy thing is? He said, I wasn't even supposed to be at Florida State. See, Manny was a pre-med, really smart guy. He had got accepted to UF, the other school. It's a good school to go to. It's not lie. I mean, there's some people, Keela come, you know, Dom, there's a couple good people. I was just there for a couple years. For pre-med, that's a good school to go to. He said, I wasn't supposed to come here. He's like, I actually literally had a lease that I was pen in hand, lease in front of me, about to sign to live at Florida. Something stopped me and told me I had to be at Florida State. God's in the business of determining the exact time and places people should be, because he's in the business of winning people. And we get to be a part of it and pluck them, share, We don't do the work in the sense of like, got to convince someone God's at work and in the business. So I start praying this. We go to UF to be on staff. So we're at UF. Meet Dom. Dom's not here tonight. Dom's my boy. Dom's an RA. We go to go walk on campus and pray. And so we're praying. I'm thinking on this verse. And Dom starts sharing. We're walking out of his dorm, around his dorm. He said, you know what? He's like, I got his roommate. He doesn't even know who it is. See, the RA's there. Like here, you're usually not supposed to have a roommate, right? Like you get your, that's a kind of perk. You get your own room, right? Well, you have there, and it's not, no offense, Akilah. It's not as good. Their housing program is not as good. But Dom ended up having to have a roommate. Now, it's not supposed to be this way either. But they had so many people, they housed Dom with a roommate. And I don't think Dom would mind me saying this, but he wasn't very excited about that. You know, you're an RA, you want your own room. It's hard work. And he was kind of like, I got this roommate. Don't even know who he is. I said, let's pray. Let's pray that God put him in your room for a reason, that he might trust in the gospel. And so Sabas comes and lives with Dom. Now, great thing is Sabas is Hispanic background. Dom is fluent in Spanish. Awesome. That worked out, not by accident. And Sabas didn't know Christ. And so we start sharing with Sabas. He comes to Bible study. Sabas, halfway through the semester, puts his faith in Christ. Guess what happens next semester? Despite Dom saying, I don't want this to happen, they moved Sabas out. There was room. Do you think it's coincidence that Dom was the RA that Sabas would live with just for a semester, just for the one semester he would need? Not at all. Even when he said, no, don't move Sabas, the housing's like, we do what we want, you know? Out! Because God determines the exact time and places people should live because he wants them to be in right relationship with him. So when I talk about how do we share, the burden's not on us. God's at work. We just get to talk about him. And we might stumble through talking about it. We might not do it well. But guess what? He's working hard. And actually, it's not really hard for him. But he does it. That's just a few stories. I'm just one person. And he's at work. He does it. That's how it happens. God's at work. He brings it about. He's going to complete it. We just get to join him. And that's the second point. The idea of the gospel, how it happens is we partner. We partner with God and what he's already doing. But secondly, partner with others. See, in Philippians 1, Paul's saying, he's thanking God. And in Philippians 1, 5, let me read it exactly. He says, 1, 3, 4, and 5, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And it's a partnership. We do it together. You're not on your own. Don't be Rambo Christian. You know, up in the woods, I'm going to take on everybody. No, that's not how it works. We're called to be a part. Sorry, that's a Rambo. Most of y'all probably haven't watched Rambo. First Blood, good movie. Rambo does it on his own. We're not called to do it on our own. Partner, Paul's saying, and here's the crazy thing. He's saying, I'm thanking God for your partnership from the first day. Now, what's that first day? The first day they trusted in Christ, they partnered in the gospel moving forth in what Paul was doing. Day one, you don't have to wait. You don't have to be super Christian. You don't have to be a pastor. You don't have to be a preacher. You don't have to be a priest to be in the business of sharing the gospel first day, because you've got the message and God's at work, and we join them and we join others. And so don't do it on your own. Look, hey, you know, look for people that are doing it. And I'm not saying you have to go out and just like try to talk to someone that you don't know. That's a way. There's multiple ways to do this. Your roommate that you don't ever talk to. Now, girls, you probably talk to your roommate because that's just you talk. Guys, you can sit in there and you can not talk for your roommate for like weeks. And you just kind of pass and go, And that's a lot is said there. You know what I'm talking about. I've learned a lot now that I'm married. I'm like, wow, I have to talk in the morning. For years, you just, you know, breakfast, you walk by a guy five times, you don't have to say a thing. Normal. Sharing the gospel might be just beginning to build a relationship with your roommate, asking questions. And they might say, yep. Praying for God to do something. There's all kinds of ways, you know, making friends with people in class. I know that's crazy too. You're just there to get done, get out, talking to people. It's going to get harder when you graduate. I worked on campus for a couple years as an accountant. And it's just harder. It's just not as easy. Not as many friends. And you have to, like, be focused, working. But we can partner. We get to do it with people. And as hopefully my hope is as a nav group, we're talking about this. We're all partnering in it together. Some of y'all will get jobs and you'll be able to partner financially with people one day, sending them to the nations and your churches and everything like that. That's part of the partnership. It's much bigger than just like going out and sharing Christ with someone you don't know. That might be scary. We'd love to help you do that. But that's not the only thing. We get to do it together. And we get to do it with, most importantly, join God in what he's already doing. Now, it's not all easy. Paul talks very plainly about the gospel and sharing it in Philippians. Philippians 1:29-30 says, "For it has been granted to you that for the sake of Christ, you should not only believe, but also suffer for his sake. Engaged in the same conflict that you saw I had and now hear that I still have." Now, I share that because God is at work, but the great thing is we get to partner with him and we get to experience in a way. We get to know Christ more because we get to suffer for his sake. He suffered a lot on that cross for us. And so we get to enter in knowing him more by suffering for him. Now, we're not going to get crucified in America for sharing the gospel, thank God. We don't have to do what Paul did. He got went to jail, got stoned, shipwrecked, put in jail, received lashings twice. Jail a couple times. Trying to remember, got bit by a poisonous snake. There's other things we just don't know. But the things he mentioned, as he went and shared the gospel, he suffered. Now, most of us won't probably go through that. I did get by a poisonous snake one time. That was kind of scary. But not because I was sharing the gospel, it's because I was swimming in a lake. But we do suffer. It will be hard at times. I don't want to just paint a pretty picture. It is work. And it's by design that we might know him more, that we not only get to believe in him, but suffer for his sake. Now, suffering might look like, and looks like different things. It might look like, I'm going to have an awkward conversation. It might just feel awkward. It might not actually be awkward. With someone that I'm not sure how they're going to receive this. Because kind of what the suffering that we undergo is, we got this great message. Not everybody's lining up saying, I want to hear it. You know, just, you know, sit down, please share what you know. This eternal life doesn't happen. There's lies that happen that we think that people don't want to hear this. We think that people, and truth is, some people might think we're foolish. And that the Bible says that all the time. It says that the gospel is a stumbling block for the Jews and was foolishness to the Greeks. The smart people, the Greeks. It's ridiculous. Gospel as foolishness. Now, people do think, Jesus is a crutch. You just believe in Jesus because you got nothing better to think on. You know, suffering, thinking that people just think we're just completely lost it. We might suffer as we share. And people might say things about us. People might say, I don't want anything to do with you. Now, we need to be wise in how we share people and not just like hit them over the head with the Bible and believe. That doesn't work like that. We're going to suffer. It's going to be work. And it's probably going to be you, and just like me, even though it's my job, sometimes, well, most of the time, it's scary. And it's usually because I'm just making things up. I really, in all the years that I have shared Christ on campus, I can think of one awkward time, and I'm not even sure if they felt like it was awkward after we were done. Afterwards, I'm like, I think I misunderstood. I think he said he didn't want to hear the illustration, but I still shared it. But he, I mean, went through the whole thing, everything like that. I mean, it turned out all right. Literally, I can think of one time where it's like, that, maybe I just blew that one. Most people are like, I don't want to hear it. If they hear it, thank you. Usually most people are like, oh, that's great. Thanks for sharing. Some people might be like, I mean, you know, very few. All the lies and all the struggles, that's part of our suffering, just working through that and trusting Jesus. Suffering, just getting, you know, like, oh, it's suffering to make a friend in class. It's just easier not to do that. But it's, I'm telling you, the work of being a part of what God's doing and winning people's life for all eternity, it is glorious and worth all the sweat, all the awkward moments, taking a chance with a friend that you've known for a long time, and because you love them, you take a chance to share something they might not be wanting to hear. No, and like I said, no one's lining up to hear the gospel. Usually, no one's lining up to hear the gospel. I'm telling you, those that have been opposed to it, that have put faith in it, they are very thankful to those that took the chance and suffered. And I would say I have a lot of failures. I can't even tell you how many failures are because, you know, how many times I didn't listen to God to share. So my stories of success, only God at work in the dorms, that was God. And there's often times where I just did not answer God's prodding me, saying, Kyle, go share. Go talk to that person. Take a chance here. I don't still want to suffer. I just want to be very comfortable. So I have all kinds of failures. I can tell you story after story after story. There's all kinds of stories I don't even remember because I'm just like, by the grace of God, I keep on doing it. And I get excited. I think on the gospel. That's what we talked about the gospel last week. I think on the gospel. And I get excited about sharing it again. Because there are people all over this campus, 90% probably, when they did a survey on campus, about 90% of people don't really have faith in Christ. And their end is destruction. And the glory of God is what we get when we share. And it's a great thing to join in. Take a chance, suffer in. I remember one last story, and this isn't something I got to do. This is a person I met, and I met this guy, and I called him On Fire Mike. That was like his name. We just knew him as On Fire Mike because he was on fire for Christ, just like one of those people. I've never named anybody else On Fire, fill in the blank, On Fire Mike. And we were sharing. You just assume On Fire Mike always knew Christ. It's just the way he was. But he's like, yeah, man. He's like, I didn't know Jesus. He had gone like to community college or something like that. And this was, I'm so glad he shared this with me because this has always stuck with me. He said, you know what? He's like, I was the guy in the hall that you would never share Christ with. He's like, I was smoking pot every day, partying. I was the last guy you would think would ever believe in Christ. He's like, there's two guys down the hall. They would share Christ with me, and I'd want nothing to do with it, but they would share with me. He's like, and they have no clue that I believe in Christ now. He had went to a different school. I'll tell you what, in heaven, they're going to have some good stories. And it was worth it for them to suffer, to share with the guy that he's like, I know. No one, I was the guy that didn't have a chance because no one, but these guys took a chance. They suffered. So there's going to be stories. If you take chances and you're like, that was complete failure, I guarantee it. There's things going on and God is at work. You might just be part of it. Just sharing that one time and starting the process or another step along the process. And there will be people in heaven because God used you and it is glorious to be involved in the greatest thing ever, which is God's story of bringing man back in right relationship for all eternity in heaven, worshiping in him. And I'm excited about that, guys. And I hope as we think on the gospel for ourselves, that it would compel us to move towards others and share. And that's going to look a different way, a couple ways. You might, I don't know where you're at in this, so I want to encourage you. If you don't know what to do, how to do it, talk to your Bible study leader. Most of them have had training in some way. If they don't know, they will talk to someone else. We mentioned Joshua Team last week. Joshua Team is a team we're starting, brand new. The idea is that is the next leaders we want to be involved with in NAVS. Guess what? Part of that four-week process will be some training in evangelism. So come join the Joshua Team. If you're like, I don't even know what to do, it's scary, come. It's not that bad. Believe me, it's really not. But we'll show you. We'll do some training in evangelism, help you out. Bible study leaders, you know, hey, summer training program this summer, guess what? You'll get your butt kicked in evangelism. They will, I mean, man, it's one thing I always, STP, and I was that guy. I have a hard time sharing people. The training in STP, come, the summer training program. Grow deeper in Christ. Evangelism training. You come back, kick some butt on campus. You know, sharing Christ, getting excited about it. It will happen in STP. You know, see anybody that went to STP, it happens. You get excited because it isn't that bad. Almost, I mean, story after story. I was scared. The last thing I want to do was evangelism. But now that's all I want to do. I love it. You know? Chantel, were you pretty scared? But you're doing that all the time, girl, now, right? Every week. Sharing Christ on campus, people you don't know. But were you scared to share Christ? That's right. STP kicked your butt, didn't it? Yes, it did. All right, see? You too can have your butt kicked at STP. Come on. That should be a great draw there. Don't let lack of skill hinder you. Try. God does the work. We already know it. He moves people into your dorm or down your hall, in the seat next to you, on the plane. We got story after story of God at work. Let's just share. Try it. Hey, you have a lot to gain. Someone else has eternity to gain. What a great thing to join in. And that's my prayer. I pray that as we think on the gospel for ourselves, let's not stop doing that. I said, let's start the semester preaching the gospel for ourselves. As we think on it, may it widen our vision to say, God, I want to glorify your name on campus. I'm not saying you have to go preach openly. I'm saying just make a friend. God, would you glorify your name? Would you use me in the business of eternity? It's awesome. I'm going to pray. Jesus, I thank you for this evening. I thank you. I thank you for the good news that Jesus did come. And in my place, paid the debt that I owed, died, and you raised him to life that to show that we no longer have to fear death because you, God, have defeated death. And that one day, the truth is we will live forever. People live forever. And you don't want them to live forever removed from your presence in hell. Your desires, as it said in Peter, Peter writes, says that your desires that none should perish apart from you. And so you're in the business of putting people all around us because they can reach out and touch a Christian that knows the gospel and can share it. And that's the way you do your business, God. I pray that we would join in it, partner with you, partner with one another. I pray that you would move us. And I pray that we wouldn't feel guilty, Lord. I make mistakes in this. And this is not about doing something to gain honor in you. We know the gospel is the only way we relate to you, God, freely in the way it's supposed to be because you did the work. When we don't share the gospel, maybe sinful reasons, Christ already paid for it. So this is not another chance to perform. This is just a chance just to express love. So I pray that's what we would do, Lord, in little ways that we would pray and that our hearts would be open. We would pray. The prayer this week would be, God, is there something you would have me to do to share that gospel? or to begin, that you would open our eyes to those. That's my prayer, Lord. We thank you for this evening. We thank you for your word towards us. Amen.